My pastor told me when I started preaching, he gave me three rules. He said, preach what you know. I know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, stay in the book. Amen. I got the book.
Yeah.
And he said, take them past Calvary every chance you get.
Yeah.
And I found out in the years that I've been preaching, that's always worked. So I'm going to preach what I know about. I'm going to stay in the book.
Amen.
Before it's over with, I'm going to take you past Calvary.
Amen. Amen.
Song of Solomon in chapter 2 and verse 8. While you're turning there, the book of the Song of Solomon shows the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. Now, I believe anybody that's saved, born again, claimed the blood of Jesus Christ is part of what they call the bride. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe even a Methodist can go to heaven if they're saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you use the term bride anymore, and they label you as something. Amen. But we are the bride of Christ. Amen. Hey, if you've accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, you're part of that. Amen. You're part of His body. Amen. You're in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Here in it shows this relationship, but I'd like to start in verse 8 there in chapter 2. The voice of my beloved. There's nothing like the voice of God. I don't know whether. To me, it's never been an audible voice. It's a small, still voice. But I've never forgot one time that He spoke to me. The voice of my beloved. Behold, He cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. That's a deer.
Yeah.
Behold, He standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing Himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. You know, all the times that I failed Him, I'm still His love. I'm still His fair one. Amen.
Amen.
I'm still undefiled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
He said, for lo, the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear upon the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. The voice of the turtle, that's the turtle dove, is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. And the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. As I read the book of the Song of Solomon, I see one thing in here that I believe that we can relate to the church, amen. I see an excited bride, amen. I mean, she's excited, amen. Hey, what's she excited about? She's not excited about the building. She's not excited about the program. She's not excited about one thing. She's excited about Him. Would be to God, we could just get excited about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Again, amen. How come we can't get excited just about Him? Amen.
Amen.
I mean, she's running all over town. She's telling everybody about it. Amen. She says, have you seen Him? Have you seen Him? Oh, He's wonderful. Amen. He's altogether lovely. Amen. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's my beloved. Amen. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the chiefest among 10,000. Amen. Hey, He's wonderful. He's altogether lovely. Amen. Have you seen Him? Have you seen Him? Do you know Him? And I tell you the way we leave church. Somebody asked us, how was church this morning? Oh, it was all right. What did the preacher preach on? He preached out of the Bible. Amen. I tell you, we don't come to church anymore to pay attention. We was talking about it. All my little jokes you'll remember, amen. All my little funny stories you'll remember, amen. Hey, but the meat of the message, it'll go through you like X-Lax. Amen. Listen, amen. You come to get entertained, amen, and you miss the meat of the message, amen. Hey, ask God to show you something tonight. Amen. I mean that rose of Sharon. I started studying about that rose of Sharon. And it's a common rose. It is a beautiful rose. But it says around the fields of Sharon, it said they're plentiful. They're there for everybody to see. You know, when I first started reading my Bible and I said, oh, the rose of Sharon. Boy, that must be a very, very rare rose that you can only go to certain places to see. And I began to study it. No, it's not like it grows wild. Amen. It's there for everybody. Amen. Amen. That's why He's so wonderful. It's a common salvation. Amen. The rose is there for everybody. Amen. He is the rose among the thorns. Amen. And guess what? We're the thorns. Amen. But thank God. Amen. He came to save the thorns. Amen. Amen. She's excited. She's in love. Brother, you remember when you first got married? I mean, you was in love. I remember before I got married, I went off to college and my wife gave me her picture. Man, I set that up there on that little table I had in my room and all I could think about was her. Amen. I couldn't study because of her. Amen. I mean, I didn't even eat right because of her. Amen. I mean, you know you're in love when a fat man won't eat. Amen. All I could think about all the time, I got up thinking about her. Amen. I went to bed thinking about her. Amen. Hey, what was wrong with you? I was lovesick. Amen. Would be to God we'd get lovesick again. Say, what do you mean? Hey, I missed her so bad that every chance I got to go home, amen, I was headed home, amen. Even if it was only for a few hours, I'd drive 3 hours to get to see her for 1 hour. Amen. What's wrong with you? How come you don't love Him? It says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Everything that's in us. Physically, we're supposed to love Him. Spiritually, we're supposed to love Him. Amen. With our mind and body, amen. We're supposed to love Him. Amen. What happened, amen? You won't even drive 45 minutes, amen. You won't even give up anything, amen. I tell you, church, what's wrong with us? We're not lovesick anymore. We're not wanting Him bad enough. He would show up here if we got lovesick, amen. He'd walk the aisles, amen. He'd stir our hearts, amen. Why? Because somebody that cries out in love, just like Mary in the garden, amen. Tears were running forth because she was lovesick, amen. You know what I haven't seen this week? No tears. Shouts are a fleeting thing. They're here for just a moment and they're gone. But God takes every tear and puts it in a bottle. Tears are for an eternity. Shouts are just for a moment. You want to have revival? Where's the tears on the altar? Amen. She's lovesick. She's excited. What's she excited about? I'm glad you asked. She's excited maybe because she remembers what she was. Amen. We look over there in chapter 1 and verse 6. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept, amen. Why, she was shackled in the chains of ignorance, amen. She didn't know no better, amen. Amen. She was bound in the cords of sin, amen. She was ashamed. She was enslaved. She was disliked. And she was poor, amen. She was burdened by the cares of this world, amen. She was toiling in the ground of the unredeemed, amen. She was a slave to an angry master, amen. And that's the way my life was, amen. I was a slave to an angry master, and my master's name was called Satan, amen. Let's just face it tonight. You either got Jesus Christ as your master tonight, or Satan is your master. There's no middle ground. Hey, there's no gray areas, amen. You're either going to heaven tonight, or on your way, you're on your way to hell, amen. Hey, let's just get honest tonight with God, which side you're on, amen. She remember what she was. She was a nothing. And I can imagine one day, she's down there. She didn't have no fancy manicure. She had her hands down in that dirt. She's digging out those taters, amen. She's all dirty, amen. She'd been out in the sun all day. It had baked on her, amen. Her skin was dry. Her hair was greasy and wet with sweat. She wasn't no beauty to look at. She didn't have no mascara on, amen. Had no makeup. Didn't have no pantyhose, amen. She didn't have no fancy shoes or fancy hat, amen. She's just down there in the field. She didn't have no hope, amen. Her whole family was angry with her. They didn't care for her. They just made her into a slave. They just let her, at least to get rid of her. Nobody wanted her, amen. And then one day, amen, the king of the land came by, amen, riding on a white stallion, amen. The prince came by, amen, in all his glory, in all his array, amen. And for some reason, he turned down her row that night, amen. Hey, he rode down to where her, where she was, amen. Hey, praise God. And he saw something in her that nobody else saw, amen. He didn't see what she was. He seen what he can make out of her, amen. Hey, and he fell in love, amen. Amen. I'm glad one day, amen, he rode down my row, amen. He turned up my taters, amen. He's clawing me. Nobody else saw a preacher, amen. Nobody else saw anything that was worth God. Nobody'd ever dream that he'd use a hillbilly from West Virginia, amen. But guess what? He looked beyond my sin and he saw what he could make out of me, amen. Thank God, amen. He can see tomorrow. He can see the finished work, amen. Glory to God. I'm excited because he, what it was, and the fact that he forgot about it. I haven't, but he has. I mean, she's a little bit excited. I'm excited about this. Some of you, you ain't excited nothing but about video games. What do you get excited about, him? I'm excited about because, hey, the creator of the universe, amen, the Lord of lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, amen. Hey, loves me, cares for me, saved me, amen. Give him a wave offering. Give him a heave offering, amen. I tell you, she's excited because she remembered where she came from. David put it like this in Psalms 40 in verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth. How come you can't sing? I'm just wondering if you're saved if you won't sing. Amen. I wonder about that. I stand in doubt of you, like Brother Earl. Amen. He put a new song in my heart. Amen. Even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When's the last time anybody saw you praise God? Have you ever tried it in Walmart? If you just praise God, people think you're nuts. I worked with a bunch of heathens. One morning I come running late. I pastored at that time. On a Monday morning I come running late. I slid into the parking lot, pulled up in there. They were all in the gauntlet line, all smoking their cigarettes, hung up from drinking and whatever else they did all week, amen. I started to walk in and one of them piped up and said, "Preacher ought not to drive like that." I stopped and looked at him. I said, "You're right. But you know you shouldn't drive like that, boys." "Well, why?" "Well, if I wreck and die, I'm going to heaven." "Then I'm almost certain every one of you is going to hell. Amen." "They never bothered me about my driving anymore. Amen." I tell you what, most of us just stand there and take it. Amen. I'm going to speak out. Went up to detention center up there. We got a maximum security detention center. Went up there one day and they said, the lady come out and said, "Oh, we doubt if you'd have service today." I said, "Why?" He said, they run a priest out of here this morning. I said, we won't have no problem. I got a name up there. They labeled me. They called me Crazy Charlie. Amen. I tell you, people don't mess with a crazy man. Ask those Indians. Amen. They can tell you. Y'all don't mess with a crazy man, do you? Amen. Hey, what does praise bring? It brings fear. We quit praising, the church has quit praising Him, the people's quit fearing God. Lift up your hand, open your mouth, shout, it'll do you some good. Amen. Hey, I come back here and sit on your lap, and some of you ain't going to praise God. Amen. Could even, 300 pounds couldn't even squash a grunt out of you. Amen. She's excited because she remembered where she came from. Let me use this illustration. There was a guy once had to do work on a septic tank. Any of you ever have to work on a septic tank? I know city folk, they just flush it and forget it. But us country folks, we flush it and then years later we dig it up. Happens like that in the Baptist church. Things you thought was done long buried. Amen. Somebody's going to dig it up, that stinky stuff. Amen. Anyway, he had to take the top off of that safety tank. Man, he had to call the honey dipper. Amen. Come and dip out the honey. Amen. But he couldn't get there until the next day. So he had to leave that septic tank open during the night. And he had an old dog named Rover. An old Rover or something in the midst of the night. Amen. He was out there wandering around in the darkness. I'm just telling you, it's not good to wander around in the dark. Why? Because there's a pit waiting for you. And he fell into that horrible pit. And it was full. It was so deep, old Rover, he had to swim. Every time he quit swimming, he'd sink to the bottom. And I mean, it was dark and there wasn't no light. And around he went during the night, swimming. He kept bumping into stuff. But he didn't know what it was, amen. Just around and around and around. Sounds like NASCAR, don't it? Around. Then finally, light came into his prison. And for the first time, Rover saw what kind of condition he was in. Thank God when light came into my prison, amen. Thank God when God turned the lights on, amen. And for the first time, I saw what a pitiful creature I was, amen. I saw the situation I was in, amen. I saw that there was no hope, amen. I saw that I needed a hand from above, amen. I saw that I wasn't going to get out of this on my own, amen. The walls were too steep and the job was too big, amen. It was going to take somebody greater than me. The good master, being the good master he was, he came out that morning to feed old Rover. He whistled and said, hey, Rover. But Rover was so tired and so weak from his struggle that he could barely let out a whimper. That's why I'm wondering if some of you ain't in the pit. You sure ain't shouting tonight. Amen. Now the girls and the young men here are under orders for me to shout tonight. I went by and gave him orders, amen. And Brother Jack okayed it. So the master, being the good master that he was, he went on the hunt of old Rover. And he came to Rover's horrible pit. And he looked down in there. You know what? Rover looked like all the other garbage in the pit. You know what? When you get in the pit, what you look like? The rest of the pit. I mean, if there wasn't a trained eye looking for it, he'd have looked like everything else that was in the pit. Well, the master, being the good master he was, he went and got him a rope. And he threw that rope down in there and he tried to lasso Rover. But Rover was so slick and so slimy that rope just kept slipping off. There's some of them you're going to pray out. But there's others you're going to have to go after. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't want to get my hands dirty. You'll never see any souls saved. You can't plow a garden. You can't plant a garden. You can't turn. Hey, you can't do anything in a garden without getting your hands dirty. Amen. And that's God's garden out there. He bought the whole thing. Amen. He paid for the whole field. Amen. Every bit of it. Amen. We need to go turn it up. Turn it upside down. Turn it crossways. Hey, dig it up. Seed it up. Amen. You ain't going to do it without getting dirty. If it had been me right at this point, I'd have got my trusty 22, and I'd put old Rover out of his misery. But the master, being the good master that he was, he went and got a ladder, and he put it down into that horrible pit. And man, he got down in there, and I can imagine it's probably up to here on him. It's deep, and so are some of y'all's pits. Why is it so deep? You've been there a long time. You're dying in your own waste. He started toward old Rover. And he went to reach out for old Rover. Rover tried to bite him. Isn't that the way you are when Brother Charlie comes to your house? The preacher's coming, lock the doors, turn the lights out. Cover the TV up with a sheet. Don't let him in! Don't let him in! That call identification is the worst thing that ever happened. The preacher calls you. It's the preacher. Don't answer. The very person that's coming to help you, you can't stand to look at him. Why? Because of your sin. But the good master, being the good master that he was, he didn't give up. He started talking to Rover in that small, still voice. Rover, it'll be all right. He got over and he put his hand on Rover. There ain't nothing like the touch of the Lord.
Amen.
Man, I crave His touch.
Amen.
There ain't nothing like it. It brings a peace. It brings a calmness. It brings an assurance that's unexplainable. And in order to get old Rover out of that pit, he had to get a little lower than Rover. And he put his arms down underneath that old dog. And he clasped him to his chest. And he carried him out of his pit. I was that Gentile dog, amen. I couldn't get to where he was. But thank God he came to where I was, amen. Thank God he descended from the glories of heaven, amen. He put off all his glory, amen. And he came down. I got in the elevator. Amen. Don't sing that climbing Jacob's ladder around me. Amen. I got in the elevator. Amen. I tell you, she's a little bit excited. And you ought to be excited tonight. Amen. I'm trying to stir the coals of your heart. Amen. I'm trying to get you excited. She's a little bit excited because of the price that was paid for her. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Amen. The price was paid. The blood of Jesus Christ. And the best illustration that I have for that is one of Brother Earl's. Brother Earl preaches, and he'll say in a transaction, you look at that thing that you're going to buy, and you look at the price that you're going to pay for it. You ladies do this in Walmart almost every day, amen. I spend a lot of time waiting outside of Walmart, amen. We had a map that had every Walmart in the country marked on it. Amen. Thank God we lost that map. Amen. But you get ready to buy that thing. And you look at it and you decide that that price you're going to pay for it is worth it. God the Father thought more of us than He did His own Son. He gave the supreme price for us. We are not cheap. Amen. You were bought with the greatest price that was ever paid for anything in the entire universe. The life and the blood of Jesus Christ. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be excited that such a great price was paid for you. Then she's excited because of that place that's prepared for her. Revelation 21:18 says the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. 12 foundations, 12 gates of pearl. I mean, just one pearl made a whole gate. Somebody said, boy, that's a big pearl. I was thinking, that's a big oyster. The street of the city is pure gold, as transparent glass. Now, I'm going to go there, and I'm excited about it. I don't know what your problem is, but I'm excited about it. Me being a hillbilly, when I get up there, I'm going to shuck my shoes off. Amen. They say that transparent gold is soft. Scientists say if you can make it absolutely pure, it's soft. Hey, I'm going to stick my toes down in it. No toe fungus. Praise God, I've got a glorified body. Amen. I mean, there's going to be a river of pure water, crystal clear, flowing out of the throne of God and the Lamb of God. Amen. You look down in that river and it's 100 feet deep and there's a newspaper on the bottom. It'd be like a magnifying glass. You could read every word. Amen. I've been dying to jump in that pool out there ever since I used to swim all the time when I was a kid. You know whales are not real good on the earth. But praise God, when they get in the water, they can move. Amen. I think I'll just jump in and take a swim. Amen. Oh, don't get upset. I'm not going to pollute it. I've got a glorified body. I come up out of there. My robe is instantly dry. Amen. Glory to God. For the first time in my life, I can wear off the rack clothing. Amen. I mean, there's trees on either side of the river. There's 12 manner of fruit growing on either side. I think I'll just get me one. Oh. Mm. You ought to try one of these. Mm. Come on. Mm, good. Oh. No stains, amen. No stains anymore. Hey, Brother Jack, you ought to be shouting right now, amen. Hey, the stains are all gone, amen. They've disappeared forever, amen. If you're a fat man, Brother Justice, amen. Every tie I got, every shirt I got, amen. My wife wants to make a bib for me, but I won't wear it, amen. I mean, it says we're going to feast up there. Amen. They probably got green beans up there the size of baseball bats. Amen. Bananas the size of saw logs. We'll just saw one off, put it on a steak, and eat, run around it and eat it. See, I don't know how heaven's going to be, but it's going to be a lot better than I can imagine. There's probably watermelons up there the size of Volkswagens. Amen. We'll just cut a door in the side and eat our way through it. We got an eternity, amen. I'm telling you, heaven's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great, amen. I'm a little bit excited about going to that place, amen. Why, there's no more dying. There's no more bills. There's no more taxes, amen. There's no more gas stations. Glory to God, amen. There's no more beds, amen, that you're afraid to sleep in, amen. Glory to God. Thank God I'm going to that wonderful place called heaven. I'm just just a little excited.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if that offends you. Well, you ought not to act like that. I suppose we're supposed to act like you. I ain't gonna act like that. Even when I was lost, I didn't act like that. When I was lost, I had a good time. Why not have a good time after you're saved? Then she's a little bit excited because that precious garment that was made just for her. Isaiah 61 verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Again, there's that rejoicing. I will greatly, greatly, greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Sounds like to me that's sort of a purposed heart. To be joyful. Amen. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. I don't know about you, but my little girl, Amy, it come to the time that she met a boy. I was praying for the rapture. As far as I'm concerned, there's no boy that lived up to my expectations. Beside that, she ended up marrying a Marine. Amen. I'm not him. But he loves the Lord. He's in church. He treats her good. But boy, come the time that we went on the hunt for the dress. How many of you dads have been through that? Going on the hunt for the dress. Now, I'll get forgiveness maybe, but I went to the mall, okay? That's a good place to go hunt for the dress. Amen. We went in a place and in that place, I'm just a little bit uncomfortable in those kind of places. I mean, there's pinks and purples and fuchsias. And there's ruffly and fluffly things all over the place. And the furniture in those places, you're afraid to sit down on it. You're afraid they ain't going to hold you up. And if you're a man and you're comfortable in those kind of places, I'm a little bit worried about you. A little worried. But I went in there for my little girl. And I sat down gently. And she had picked out that white dress and she earned it. She'd kept herself pure, girl. Amen. You need to do that. If you haven't, God will forgive you for it. You can go on. But His desire is both for the girl and the boy to be pure. That's His desire. That's what He wants. He said, well, I done messed that up. Well, you've done that messed it up. Just go to Him, get forgiven, and go on. Amen. That don't mean it's over for you. Thank God He's a God of second chances and third chances. Amen. Just because you failed one time doesn't mean you failed the whole test. Amen. We heard that this morning. Amen. But she went in there and they took her in the back and in a little bit she came out. And they had that white dress on her and that long train behind her. And they put a little crown upon her head. Amen. And they had a pedestal there. And the pedestal had mirrors halfway around it. And they brought her up there and they put her on top of that pedestal. And she was sitting there looking in that mirror. And all of a sudden tears started coming out of her eyes. And she said, oh, Daddy. Just about that time, Daddy's crying. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't care how much it costs. I don't care if we've got to go in debt for it. Amen. We'll make payments on it. I got a credit card. Amen. I don't care what the brethren says. Amen. I'm going to buy it for her. I want her to have the very best. Amen. Thank God. Well, Jesus Christ looked down one day. He said, I love her. Amen. I want her to have the very best. I want her to be clothed with fine linen. Amen. I want her to be beautiful. I want her to be perfect. Amen. I'll go to Calvary, amen. I'll give my blood, amen. I'll suffer my body to be there. I'll do anything for her because I love her, amen. And that's the same way you ought to feel about your wife, gentlemen. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. You ought to love your wife. If you ain't willing to die for her, you ain't right with God. I die for my children. I die for my wife. I don't think I'd have any problem. My grandchildren, no problem. I don't know about other people, but I know I could die for them. Why? Because back in 1983 at an old cross, at an old-fashioned altar, I got saved. Death is, for me, is I'll never see death. I've been translated that I might not see death. Amen. And I tell you what, I've never been a bride. But one day I will be. I mean, I remember my wedding, the groom came out. We're standing there. Nobody gets excited. There's no oohs and ahs from the crowd. We're sitting there twiddling our fingers. The best man standing over there. You got the ring? You sure you got the ring? Yeah, I got the ring. Then all of a sudden, the preacher says, "All rise." Dun, dun, da, dun. The doors come open. There she is. Amen.
Amen.
My wife, my bride, she was beautiful that day. But she's more beautiful today than the day she walked through that door. Why is she more beautiful? Because the good times, the bad times, the lean times, amen, the sick times, when I was sick, when the kids were sick, when we didn't have no money, amen, we didn't know what we was going to do, she didn't leave me, she didn't run off, she stood there with me through thick and thin, amen. Thank God for her. I love her more today than ever loved her before, amen. Every day goes by and she's by my side and she's there supporting me, amen. And she tells me she loves me and she gives me a kiss on the cheek, amen. It'll make you want to get up and go, amen. It'll make you want to do something for the Lord, amen. What about you, Glory Land Baptist Church? How does he feel about you? He's coming back someday. Is he going to say, "Yeah, Glory Land, she was with me through the thick and thin, amen. She never left the book, amen. Hey, she was out there knocking on the doors. She was a light in a dark place, amen. Oh, the city around her was crumbling, amen. But there was a lighthouse, amen. There was a place where I was, amen. There was a place where they wanted old time preaching, old time singing, amen. Hey, will they say, 'Oh, I love you, I'm proud of you,' amen." And she's excited because of the letter he sent her. Look in verse 9. "My beloved is like a roe or a young hart, a deer." There's many animals in the Bible that the Lord's likened to. The deer is one of the most graceful creatures that man knows about. Have you ever seen a deer run? Have you ever seen how graceful it is? How everything is in perfect motion? How it bounds over those fences? Amen. Then also, the deer has horns. Horns are a sign of power in the Bible. I'm trying to imagine this hart, this deer that's standing in the garden. And he stood in the garden before at Calvary. An all-powerful God. He's like that Hartford deer. Amen. His horns is huge. His power is upon his head. And he stands before the windows. Here's the picture. We see the bride looking through the windows at the Lord. May I introduce to you the bride's windows? There's 66 of them. And it says there that he showing himself through the lattice. For those of you that don't know what lattice is, back before glass was made, they used strips of wood or strips of leather, and they put it across the windows. But they left openings so air could come through. And it says here that he shows himself through the lattice. Do you see the lattice work?
Yeah.
Every time you peel away one of these verses, you see a little bit more of him. Amen.
Yeah.
Why aren't you seeing God? You quit peeling away the lattice. Amen. I know that up there in West Virginia, there's a field right in front of my house. And one day there was one 10-point and two 8-point bucks that came into the field. We all rush to the windows to see these deer. But sometimes they get over in a part of the field, and if you really wanted to see them, you'd have to get in a difficult position. You wonder how Brother Earl preaches like he preaches? He stayed with me before, and I'd walked in his room, and he's got his bed. On his bed, he's got his Bible laying on his bed, and he's on his knees before that book, reading it. He wanted to see some things nobody else could see. But he had to get in a difficult position to see it. I tell you, when you're down and out, God brings those tribulations into your life, you get in that difficult position and you open up the windows and suddenly you seem like you've never seen him before. That grace that was preached about, you suddenly appreciate it so much more than ever before. Amen. And this book becomes more precious to you because you know that this book reveals Him.
Amen.
We see the picture. It speaks of our wall. Our wall. It doesn't say it's His wall. It's our wall. Now, if you'll notice, He cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. No mountain too difficult, no hill too steep. No river too wide, no ocean too wide. Nothing stops Him, but the wall does. Well, what is that wall, preacher? I believe it's sin. In Isaiah 49 and verse 16, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." It's our wall. Here's the picture, church. The church, she's sitting there looking out the window. And she's got to used to looking over the wall to see. What do we see today? The churches are looking over sin. We quit preaching against it.
Right.
We're just content to look over it because we can still see. Amen. Listen, I don't know you, but I believe that day's approaching when He's come back. I'd want Him to be as close as He could possibly get. See, what we need to do, we need to tear down the wall. If you ever want to have true revival, it's got to be sin killing.
Right.
You got to tear some walls down. Because
right.
He will not cross that wall of sin. All you can still see.
Right.
Listen, there's a danger letting the wall go because it gets higher and higher. And one day you'll come to the window and you'll say, "Man, I used to be able to see. Wonder what happened." And it doesn't matter what the preacher preaches about. He'll preach about grace. He'll preach about love. But all you'll be able to see is your sin. Because it's got too high. Why not tear it down tonight while you can still see Him? You see, He's wanting to come closer. He wants to press His face against the glass. Amen. But we won't take care of the sin. This letter that He sent us, it's a love letter. It's a history book. It's a how-to book. How to live, how to love, how to lead, how to talk, how to walk, and how to die. She's excited because He's coming for her. He said, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Rise up! Rise up! Later on in the scriptures, He comes to the door and she's in bed. And He knocks upon the door, but she won't get up. It's time to get up. It's time to stand up. Having done all to stand, amen. It's time for the church to rise up. Why? He's coming back. He's coming back. I believe that rise up, He said, stand up. Witness for me. Time's running out. The come away is the rapture. The rise up is the attention. He says, "I expect you to be standing at attention when I come to take you out." I'll tell you one thing in the army. When you know the commander's coming, you're not sitting down. You're standing at attention. And the commander's coming. Amen. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear upon the earth. The timing of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Well, it sounds like late spring. Then it says, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Sounds like summer. What fall's coming? Harvest time. If you know anything about the fig tree, here in verse 13, it's a representation of Israel. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 32, and now learn parable of the fig tree, which is the branch, is not yet termed, but putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Israel became a nation in 1948. Israel right now, every category that you can name, she's at the top. She's the number one vegetable producer in the Middle East. The best citrus fruits in the world come from Israel. They have the best soil in the world. The skirmish over the Golan Heights, that's the head springs of the Jordan River. Israel's taken so much water out of the Jordan River. What's she doing that for? She's irrigating the fields. She's bringing them to life. Amen. Why? Because for the first time in history, there's more Jews in Israel than there is in America. We're about ready, maybe, to elect a person to the presidency that is very pro-Muslim. If he's not one, I can't believe America's so blind. What do you think they're going to do if he gets elected? He's already stated that he's going to be for them. They're going to go by, leave this country in droves. What are you saying? I'm saying he could come at any time. 1948. How long is the generation? I said, before the generation passes away. Well, the other day, I know a guy that is 109 years old. Let's say 100 years. Well, that brings up 2058. Well, you know, she hasn't blooming yet. Well, how about 2068? The whole point is, he could come at any time.
Right.
He said, before the generation passes away.
Right.
What's that telling us? Any man, any person's got any sense at all, that tells you that Christ could come even tonight. He's coming. 2000, we find that Clinton made a deal with Syria and Israel, and America agreed to give Israel a $17 billion package. It wasn't on CNN News. It wasn't on Fox News. I read it in a Jewish newspaper. $17 billion. I read the article, and the first thing we agreed to give Israel was cruise missile technology. On the second paragraph, it said this, and two wings. Immediately, my mind went to Revelation chapter 12. It said two wings will be given to the woman. Amen. Of a great eagle. I didn't know that then, but wings are a detachment of airplanes in the Air Force. Anywhere from 75 to 100 planes can be in a wing. The first wing, they said, was C-130s or something along that. They're heavy, that could carry a lot of cargo or a lot of people. My. Two different articles. One said the other one was Black Hawk helicopters, Apache or Black Hawks. That's so they could protect those people as they took them away. The other article said heavy lift helicopters. What other country on the face of the earth is going to give Israel a $17 billion country? Maybe it was just that peace deal fell through. Maybe it's just a coincidence that our emblem for our country is an eagle. I looked up great eagle in the Bible. It appears just three times. The first time it's Babylon. The second time it's Egypt. The third time, Revelation chapter 12, an event that has not happened yet. What are you saying, preacher? Right now, Turkey is standing in for the United States, brokering a deal with Syria. Do you think that'll come up on the package? Will come up again? I'm telling you, people, if you're ever going to do anything for Christ, you better get busy. She's excited because he's coming back, amen. And he's not going to give you no warning, amen. He's gave you his book. He's gave you his love letter. He's told you he's coming like a thief in the night, amen. We need to be ready. We need to be on our knees. We need to be at attention, amen. We need to be looking for him, amen. Because as sure as this world's here tonight, he's coming. Are you ready? Are you saved? Have you trusted in His blood? Or are you playing a game? What if He comes back now? Even so, come quickly, Lord. I'm ready. My fear is that some of you aren't. And that is not going to stop Him from coming. Today is the day. Now is the time for salvation. There's two questions. Either get right with God, get saved, or go to hell. Christian, either get things right with God tonight, get it attention, or he's going to pick you up in the condition that you're now in. Or you'll stand before Him ashamed. What are you going to do? I'd do it tonight. I wouldn't put it off.